before the performance, but I must say a few things, and I think it's important because I believe everyone is here today. You chose to be here. You came here. Some of you were, your arm was twisted to be here, but nonetheless, you are here, and I believe it is by God's will that you are here today. And so I want to encourage you to know that Jesus Christ and his view of children in the Old Testament, not in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, at that time in the culture, children were not seen so much as innocent, but more or less they weren't seen as being important the way that we view children today. The society at that time was drastically different. But Jesus flipped the script with that. We see it in Mark chapter 10 when Jesus, people were beginning to come and bring all their children before Jesus. They were kind of pushing their way, and they just wanted Jesus to pat them on the head and pray for them. We don't know the whole picture, but we can see that Jesus is an important guy. His disciples were like, hey, wait a second. And the disciples were like, you know, kids are not significant as much as adults were. And so maybe they just, it's kind of like a secretary who kind of thinks, hey, it's not important. The boss's kids want to come see him. They know that maybe he's got a business meeting that day. And so she's trying to guard them so he can get ready for the meeting. But he comes out and he says, hey, wait a second. Every minute with my kids is just as important as any business meeting. So the disciples, they weren't being harsh necessarily, but they didn't see the value. And so Jesus flips it to explain something, because there's something even deeper in this. In Mark chapter 10, verses 13, it says, people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He was angry. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on them, and he blessed them. That word where the indignation of Jesus, it means he was deeply troubled. It shows his passion for people to, his passion for people to be able to have access to him. And this goes deeper than just the children. It says here that you can't even enter the kingdom of God unless you come like a child. And what is that like? I can remember the first time. It's like when you see people, like children at swim practice, right? Before the kid knows how dangerous water is, he sees the parent in the pool and he looks and he doesn't even think. He doesn't overthink it. He just jumps, knowing that the parent is going to catch him. That's how we're to come to Jesus. And as a child, it's easier, and that's the picture Jesus is wanting them to understand, that unless you come humble like a child, completely, utterly dependent, you will not experience or inherit the kingdom of God. The thing is, when you get older and our experiences in life can kind of mold and shape, they say somewhere that the sum total of your choices produces the character that you have. And in a lot of ways, that's true. We end up getting beaten and battered, or go through life and our experiences, and we begin to look at everything through that lens. But it doesn't change the fact that we are to come as little children to Jesus, and to come in the sense of completely humbleness and brokenness. And that's hard when we get older, because, hey, we want to work for it, and we don't want to get away with anything. We don't want others to get away with anything. And you know what? I don't want to get away with anything either, necessarily. But see, that's what's hard, because Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And everyone in this room, if you don't know Jesus, you're lost. Now, I might be offensive, and some of you might not like to hear that, but I can tell you, we live in a world that is fading, and it's going where we call evil good and people call good evil. Everything in the Bible, I don't need to tell you, you can look at the world and on the news and you can see where we're at. There's not a greater time for you to have the surety of hope that is only found in Jesus Christ. And I can tell you, you see some value because you're here today, whether you wanted to be here or not, and you're here to support your kids. And you say, you know what, it might not be for me, but I want the kids to at least have a good foundation and a good start. The Lord can work with that. He sees your heart. He knows where you're at. And you know what's great is none of us could be good enough, and he already knew that. But he desires a relationship with everyone. So I'm going to leave you with this, and I think it's the most important thing you can hear. And some of you have heard it many times in your life. But just as Jesus didn't want, told his disciples, hey, let them come unto me, he says the same thing to each and every one of you. Let them come unto me. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. For this is the verdict, that light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of the light, because their deeds were evil. God has made a way for everyone in this room, and it says in Romans that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. And I don't know where any of you are in your walk, but I know there's a lot of different walks and different experiences in this room, but I would encourage you, if you might not have been raised in church or anything, it doesn't matter. If you are interested and would like to know more, I'd love to talk to you after the service. But I want to just say and pray, if you would pray with me as we pray for the kids that are coming up and the teachers, I want to just encourage you to know that God has a plan and a purpose for everyone in this room. He knows your deepest pain, your hurt, your heartache, your sorrow, your trauma. No one will know or understand like he does, and he has a place for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for every parent and child that's in this building today. I thank you for all of the teachers that have been working hard and preparing as the kids have been working hard. And Lord, we give this service to you. Lord, I thank you that you give us your Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the one who comes alongside. And so, Father, I ask that during this service, while the kids are performing, that your Holy Spirit would move over the hearts and minds of those in this building who do not know you, and that they would know that you have a place for them, that they could call upon you, that they can confess their sins and ask you to come into their life. We thank you for your faithfulness, and we thank you for your word, and we ask that you would bless this time. And all God's people said, amen.